Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining us today for a worship service at First Christian Church. Why don't we make sure our cell phones aren't going to make any extra noise and prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude for today's worship. So we have some announcements today. After service, we're having a dessert buffet for Cindy Trimmer, who will be leaving for Arizona for family. Choir is getting ready to start, so check the bulletin for the times and the rehearsals. Week of Compassion dinner is coming up, so be sure to get your tickets. The last time you can get your tickets is September 4th, so be sure to see. I think Debbie was out there this morning. Check in with those folks. The elders meeting has moved, so for those of you that are needing to attend that, please note the new time and date for the September meeting. And the fall Sunday school schedule has been changed up a bit. We're trying to make sure we can get as many folks involved as possible. So check the call, because the new schedule is in there. And then Tom has an announcement about the campaign.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hey, good morning. What a wonderful day in Wyoming, huh? This days like this are the reason we live here. And then the winter days give us hope that we can be around to see more days like today. Something like that. I just want to take a minute to thank those of you that have supported this Capitol building campaign. It's coming along well. I'm sorry I don't have figures for you this morning, but we still have a ways to go. And so if you haven't chosen to support this, I would hope you'd give some prayerful thought today to do so. In putting this together, I've had an opportunity, as many of you have that have been here as long as I have, to reflect on when this building was brand new. And the so many, many names that come to mind that actually helped build this facility. And I keep coming to Rob Robertson, who has passed on now, but was a very loyal and faithful member of this congregation, and used to get joy out of saying, you know, here's what I did in 1952, when he was a young man, to help build this. It's been a really a nice time of reflection for me, and I hope that you will take that opportunity to reflect on when you first came to First Christian Church at 520 CY Avenue. And if you haven't supported the campaign, I would hope you'd give some real prayerful consideration this morning. There's an envelope in the pews that's brown. It has the logo of the campaign on it. And remember that every dollar we give is matched by a dollar that the church has found. So I would hope you'd take time this morning to do that. Thank you.
All right. So while we are singing our opening hymn, let's make sure we look at the friendship sheet and sign your name so you can make sure you know who you're sitting with. And if you don't know them, be sure to introduce yourself. The hymn we're going to sing this morning is number 604, That Cause Can Never Be Lost or Strayed. Oh, and stand and greet each other, please. Please join me in the call to worship. Holy God, you plant and bring forth life.
By your decree, trees branch out and bear fruit.
You call us, your people, to also branch out.
Give us us courage to reach beyond ourselves to share your love.
Make us to be branches connected to Jesus, the vine.
Ever reaching out to feed a hungry world.
Please pray with me. O God of the still, small voice, quiet our inner spirit. Help us to focus upon you and you alone, to hear your voice within. There are so many other voices demanding our attention, but we cannot attend to them without you. Be still and know that I am God, you say to us, as you said to Elijah. May your voice speak through us. In weakness be our strength, in poverty be our wealth, in depression be our joy, in apathy be our love. We cannot sing love's song, O Lord, unless it be your voice singing in us. Take this heart and with this mouth make your praise and thanksgiving a reality here and now. As we pray the prayer you taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. During the month of August, we're sharing a sermon series centered around the theme of trees and pondering how that is a metaphor for our faith. This has led us to sing some hymns from the hymnal that we do not usually sing. Almost every song during this month has been chosen because it includes the word tree or branches or roots. Our hymn of praise this morning is actually often sung during Advent. It is O Morning Star. You'll find it on page 105, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2. At this time, our young children are excused to go to worship and wonder, a special time of celebration waiting just for them. As the kids are headed out, I invite you to look on the back of your bulletin. You'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. And while we share this list, I encourage you to take out a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you. It's a postcard with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship. Then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card shower today is for Cindy Trimmer. She has been our nursery care worker here at First Christian Church for many years. And Cindy is retiring. She'll be moving to Arizona in September. Labor Day weekend will be her last Sunday with us. This morning after worship, we're having a special celebration for Cindy, and we'll present these prayer cards to her at that time. So I encourage you to write a note to Cindy Trimmer and thank her for her loving care for our children. We extend prayers of sympathy to the family of Bev Miller, who passed away suddenly on Wednesday. She died of a heart attack unexpectedly, and our prayers are with her husband, Errol, her granddaughter, Michelle Elser, and all of their family. Bev's service will be a week from this coming Wednesday on August 31st at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. A joy to share, Pat Buck's brother is home from the hospital and doing well. We had received word during worship last Sunday that he was being transported from Douglas to the Wyoming Medical Center here in Casper. His throat had swollen shut. We're not sure what caused that allergic reaction, but thankfully, due to prompt medical care, he's now doing fine and is back home. Ashton Crane, our preschool director's daughter, is doing well. A second layer of skin was removed after a procedure on the melanoma, and the biopsy on that came back clear. And there's only a 4% chance of recurrence of this cancer. So we are just so thankful that she is doing well. We continue to pray for all of the Crane family. Jeff Hover's foot continues to recover from the accident that happened while he was helping with a scout project. We give thanks today for Dylan Stupak and rejoice with his family. Dylan received his Eagle Award yesterday, and they have a lot of family from town visiting this weekend, and they're celebrating. Continued prayers for John Lansing as he lives with MS, for Catherine Kingsolver while she's at Life Care, and for Dorothy Jones. She is out at Shepherd of the Valley. She would really like visits if any of you are driving out that way. Whether you know Dorothy or not, just stop by and introduce yourself as being from First Christian Church and visit for however long you can, whether it's just a few moments or a longer time. She would love to have the company. Our community and world concerns today include prayers for missionary Scott Nicholson, who serves in Mexico, prayers for those affected by flooding, especially in Louisiana this week, for communities affected by wildfires. And our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign, and send greetings to Michael Stein, their pastor, and all the members of that church. Mary Burgess has an appointment with a neurologist scheduled for September 7th. And our prayers are with her as they'll be doing some testing for Parkinson's. Mary's had a little effort, some confusion with her balance and some tremors, and they just want to get things checked out. So prayers for Mary. Are there other concerns today or joys that we want to share? Keith. Prayers for all the students who will start classes at Casper College, and prayers especially for those who are making this journey later in life as a new adventure, as Keith is doing. Madison.
Trying really hard.
Prayers for Brianne Nagel, who's struggling with kidney issues and is pregnant and is hospitalized. Prayers for Karen Short, who fell at services at St. Pat's last night and broke her arm. Prayers for Darlene as she has her knee surgery this week. Prayers for Zane as he begins radiation treatments for cancer. There are other concerns in our hearts that we bring to the Lord now as we pray together in a time of shared silence. O God of grace and glory, you are the giver of life. You are the one, Holy One, who at the beginning of time planted the seeds for life across the universe. And on this planet that we call home, you are the one great creator who called forth life. In all your creatures and the plants of the world, in the waters of the sea, and in people, your own children, your glory is reflected. Lord, we pray this day for people who need your gift of life, your hope, and your strength. We give thanks for Cindy Trimmer for the faithful service she has given to this congregation in caring for our children for so many years. We pray your blessing upon her as she moves to Arizona. Lord, we ask you to comfort all those who grieve. We pray especially for the family and friends of Bev Miller. Surround them with your sustaining peace, your deep abiding love. There is an empty space in a pew among us today because Bev is not here except in spirit. Lord, we pray your peace upon her now through eternity. We thank you, God, for watching over Pat's brother, Zane, and we pray for your presence with him as he receives radiation treatments. Lord, may your healing hand continue to be upon his life. Thank you for watching over Ashton, and we pray for continued health for her. Lord, we lift up to you Karen Short as she recovers from a broken arm, Mary Burgess as she'll meet with a neurologist, and Darlene McIrvin this week, as she'll have a knee replacement. Lord, we pray on Tuesday that your spirit will be present in the operating room, guiding the hands of her surgeon and medical staff. Bless her with healing and watch over her in the period of recovery to follow. God, we pray for John Lansing and Catherine Kingsolver, for Dorothy Jones, and others who need your loving care. O God of life and new adventures, we pray for courage, for students who are embarking on a new semester. We pray for blessing on those who will study at Casper College. Lord, we pray especially for Keith as he embarks on a new course of study and a new period in his life. And we pray for all of his classmates, for the teachers and instructors at Casper College as a new year begins. Lord, we thank you for calling us to serve and to share in ministry. We pray your blessing upon all those who work to feed the hungry and preach the gospel, to share your love in tangible ways from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. God, we ask your guidance to be with Scott Nicholson and the work that he does in Mexico. And we pray for our brother in Christ, Michael Stein, as he pastors First Christian in Loveland. Bless the work of that congregation. Lord, we pray for people that we do not know by name, only by circumstance. We pray for firefighters and communities affected by wildfires across the West. We pray for residents in Louisiana displaced by severe flooding. Lord, wherever there are natural disasters occurring, we pray that people might respond with compassion and courage to help neighbors near and far. O God of life, thank you for the blessings that you give us to be connected to one another through Christ and to belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, during our Sunday school conversation time, we talked a little about family trees, giving each member who attended a chance just to share a story from their family. Next week at 9:15, we'll meet again in Fellowship Hall and continue that time of sharing, and we'll also have a conversation about the family tree of faith, the genealogy, if you will, of the family tree of Christianity, and all are welcome to come at 9:15. In preparing for that Sunday school conversation this morning, I brought for Show and Tell a book from my family that has part of our family tree in it. It is the story of the Kartrud family, the Carters, who came from Norway and ended up farming in South Dakota. On my way out the door, as I was carrying this old family genealogy book, I happened to notice a yellowed slip of paper sneaking out of the cover of the book. I opened and saw that it was a typed copy of a recipe for cinnamon rolls that my mother had made. It was a sweet reminder to me to see Mom's recipe. It was just a year ago today that she went to heaven. In some way, it helped me feel connected to her, and it was a reminder of all the family food we have shared through the years. Your family tree, the close branches and the distant ones, might have special recipes that you hand on from one generation to the next. Surely, as Christians, we have a recipe for a family meal that we share every Sunday. It's a pretty simple menu, a bite of bread and a sip of juice. And yet the meaning behind this meal is so significant that it sustains us spiritually for the week to come. All who gather in this place are invited to share in this family feast, to take the bread of Jesus and the cup of salvation. We'll share communion this morning by coming forward through the center aisle, taking a piece of bread and dipping it in the cup and partaking, and placing your offerings, your gifts, and your prayer cards in the trays by the front pew as you come forward, and then return by the side aisles. Whether you are a visitor or a member here, you are welcome to share in communion with us today. If you prefer to not come forward, if you have difficulty walking, simply remain in your pew and someone will serve you where you're seated. We'll prepare for communion by singing together number 245, a song filled with imagery for Christ, like the murmur of the dove's song. As we come to this table, the Holy Spirit comes and joins us here, and through the gift of God's Spirit, Christ himself is present. In the presence of Jesus, we remember that night long ago when he met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Eternal God, we are grateful for these common elements and the strength that enters our lives when we receive them as communion. Bless the cup we drink in memory of Jesus. May your presence remind us that with this privilege comes responsibility. Although we commit ourselves to more worthy service, we need your guidance for the living of each and every day. Amen.
Please pray with me. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our lips only, but with our whole lives, turning the duties, the sorrows, and the joys of all our days into a living sacrifice to you. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Is this on?
You.
He has brought us together. Just an emotion, His Spirit gives us joy that we can't hide. We will not be silent. We've got to let the world hear what's inside. And as we praise Him with our music, Jesus is the one we glorify.
Said. Amen. Thank you, Charles and Diane, for giving us a reason to sing. Our scripture today comes from the prophet Ezekiel. You'll find the text in your pew Bible in front of you, if you didn't bring your own Bible from home, on page 783 in the Old Testament section, page 783 and 784. We'll hear from Ezekiel chapter 17, the first six verses, followed by verses 22 through 24. Let us listen to learn from God. The word of the Lord came to me, O mortal, propound a riddle and speak an allegory to the house of Israel. Say, thus says the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions, rich in plumage of many colors, came to the Lebanon. He took the top of the cedar, broke off its topmost shoot. He carried it to a land of trade, set it in a city of merchants. Then he took a seed from the land, placed it in fertile soil. A plant by abundant waters, he set it like a willow twig. It sprouted and became a vine, spreading out but low. Its branches turned toward him, its roots remained where it stood. So it became a vine, it brought forth branches, put forth foliage. Continuing in verse 22, thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs, I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear a fruit, and become a noble cedar. Under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me this morning. O God, you are the one who plants every kind of tree. Lord Jesus, you are the vine who calls us to be your branches. Holy Spirit, in the shelter of you, every bird, every form of life is invited to find rest. Be present with us now, Holy Spirit, and bless my words and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The front of your bulletin has a logo that we have adopted for our Building Capital campaign. Since that selection was made, I've been thinking about what a fitting image it is to capture our message of building on our past, reaching for God's future. That simple picture of a tree has branches going down. The foundation of a tree is in its roots. It's almost as if a tree's branches reach underground, spreading out. The foundation of a building, of course, is also under earth. And here at First Christian Church, our capital campaign is going to address some issues with the foundation when we repair the parking lot and install some concrete along the edge of the building. That picture of that capital campaign logo shows the trunk as a church building itself. This coming Thursday, the first project of our capital campaign will actually begin with work underway on the retaining wall in front of the church. Cal Decker had received a bid from Lochen Construction to lift that wall and to repoint the bricks, to put in new anchors, which will hold it in place for many years to come. Cal was rather distressed when he heard the news that the Lochen Construction Company was going out of business. Mr. Lochen wanted to retire. So Cal promptly found another builder who does the same kind of work, and lo and behold, their bid was twice the original estimate. Cal called Mr. Lochen and said, I just want to know, is there any way you could do this work for us? I told Cal it's a good thing he's been praying the whole way during his preparation for the capital campaign, because Mr. Lochen said, well, I promised you I'll do the work. How about I just go ahead and do it right now before I retire? So he's coming Thursday to take care of that wall, part of the trunk, the main structure of our church building. The branches that arch overhead in that little capital campaign logo could represent the roof, which is above us, which after 50, 60 years is starting to leak. That roof will be completely resurfaced. The gravel will be taken off. A new substrate will be laid. I'm probably not using the right terminology, so talk to Cal. I just know they're going to fix the roof so it doesn't leak anymore. It's interesting how God kind of works with a sense of timing and a little bit of humor. 7 years ago, I came here as your newly called pastor, and shortly after that, the decision was made we needed a new boiler. The launch of that campaign wasn't going real well until the existing boiler stopped working in October or November, and it was really cold. And all of a sudden, the money came in and the boiler was replaced. I had to laugh at God's timing because, as you know, it rained a little bit Thursday and Friday. Yesterday, getting ready for the Eagle Scout ceremony, I set a bucket underneath the skylight out in the narthex because there was a little drip. I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, God wants this little leak to happen so folks will remember we need to help pay for the new roof. The branches can remind us of the roof. The leaves of a tree often dance in the sunlight and cause a beautiful view when you look through them to the world around. Here in our sanctuary, when we look through the light of these stained glass windows, our hearts are moved with the beauty of this place and the memory of those who have gone before. The windows are going to be included in the capital campaign. That logo that's on the front of our bulletin that talks about building on our past and reaching for God's future could be used to describe the four areas of work of the capital campaign. It can also serve as a metaphor for us about the gift of faith. The ways in which our roots go down to connect with life itself and through the learning of previous generations. If you were in worship last Sunday, then you heard the passage from John 15 where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We talked about how Jesus is like the trunk, the part of the tree that connects humans with God. This morning, we reflect on branches and what it means to be branches for God, who are called to reach out beyond ourselves and to connect God's love with the world in need. If you look through all of Scripture, there are many passages that talk about trees and describe in different metaphor the image of trees as representing faith. One of the most striking passages is this text that we've heard from Ezekiel 17. This morning, we only read part of that chapter. The prophet Ezekiel lived during the time when the Israelites were exported deported, hauled away to Babylon to live in exile. He was helping the Israelites to recover from that shock and that fear, that hardship. In this beautiful poetic passage, Ezekiel says that the word of the Lord came to him and told him, "O mortal, propound a riddle, speak an allegory to the house of Israel." Ezekiel goes on to describe two different eagles that come and take a sprig of a tree and transplant it someplace else. And then at the end of the chapter, in those few verses that we heard, Ezekiel speaks for God. When God says, "I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar, I will set out, and I myself will plant it." The allegory, that poem that Ezekiel spoke, talked of a very specific time in the history of God's people, when the Israelites were hauled into captivity by the king of Babylon, and then when the king of Egypt, that second eagle in his poem, again transplanted God's people into a time of slavery. As it is with many poems, the original meaning of the author might be challenging for us to understand, but the beauty of the imagery shines through. The text we've heard today speaks to us of how God rules over all. Whether we live in a time of hardship and spiritual drought, or we live in a season of feeling blessed, God watches over us. Ezekiel's allegory poem ends with the assurance that no matter what earthly power, no matter what person symbolized by an eagle will haul away a part of God's people, in the end, it is God's own self who will watch over and bless God's people. Then we hear this verse that says, "Under it, under the tree God has planted, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind." When we look in nature, there's often a correlation between the type of animals found in a certain region and the plants there. There's often a very specific selection made by a bird for the type of tree it will choose for food or to plant its nest in. And yet in this poem, God's tree is welcoming every bird, every winged creature. Think for a moment about nature and actual physical trees, not metaphorical or allegorical ones. Think about specific trees that you might know and the types of animals that find shelter in them. Growing up in southern New Mexico, in the desert, there are actually not many trees at all. One of the tallest plants in my native landscape in southern New Mexico is the soap tree yucca. It's a big enough cactus, it's actually called a tree. It has a central stalk that in the spring produces beautiful white blooms. The base of that cactus is sharp spines. The leaves jab up almost like swords coming out of the ground. You don't want to get too close. And yet it is tall enough that it becomes a marker in the landscape. The soap tree yucca is fairly unique in that it has a symbiotic relationship with a small insect. The yucca moth is a tiny little creature, looks a little bit like a white-winged butterfly, not very big. The yucca moth nests only on the soap tree yucca. It finds nutrition in that one plant for its offspring. In the spring, the yucca blooms. The scent of its blossoms attract the yucca moth, which flies from plant to plant and pollinates the yucca trees. The plant can't live without the little white moth. And in turn, the little white moth can't live without that yucca. It lays its eggs on the seed pods that the flowers leave behind. When you're out hiking in the desert, you can tell the health of the local ecosystem by checking out the soap tree yucca. The taller they are, the older they are, the longer they've lived there. My parents have a yucca planted at the corner of the outside fence of their yard. My sister brought home a yucca seed from a Girl Scout camping adventure probably 30 years ago. She stuck it in a coffee can of dirt and put it on the patio and forgot about it. A few years later, we realized it had sprouted, and here was this little green baby yucca. Eventually, through the years, Dad transplanted it to the yard, thinking if he put it outside the fence, it could just grow like a desert plant and be just fine. Now, some 30, 40 years later, that yucca is so large, its roots are pushing up the concrete block wall Dad built. And he's having to decide how to cut down or transplant a full-grown yucca. There's an interesting connected relationship between a tiny insect and a specific desert cactus. One cannot live without the other. If you know other stories of nature, you probably can think of your own example of a specific animal that chooses a specific type of plant, the monarch butterfly and the milkweed. Or perhaps a jay or a bird from the Rocky Mountains. A few weeks ago, when I was at Ring Lake Ranch, I enjoyed watching the Clark's nuthatch fly in the area. It's a gray and white bird about the size of a jay with a beak specifically adapted for harvesting the pine nuts of pinon trees and other pines. It's native to the Rocky Mountain West. Clark's nuthatch, you can find them all over, Clark's nutcrackers. There was a person visiting Ring Lake at the same time I was there who told the story of having worked for the Forest Service. And he was commenting on the Clark's nuthatch that we were watching this nutcracker, this bird, fly around. He said, you know, it used to be that they would harvest so many pine nuts, they were a source of food for other animals in the ecosystem. This gentleman went on to tell the story of research that has been done at Rocky Mountain National Park in northern Colorado. For several years, they tracked the harvesting of these nutcrackers who gathered pine nuts and stashed them, stored them for winter. The abundance of pine nuts was rich enough that the birds harvested more than they actually needed to get through the winter, and they would have these large stashes of nuts that ended up feeding the squirrels, supplementing their diet. And in fact, a researcher found that there were grizzly bears who feasted on the pine nuts that the bird harvested. An interesting connection in the ecosystem. He said, the sad thing is that if you go to Rocky Mountain National Park now and you watch for Clark's nutcrackers, nuthatch, you'll often find that gray and white bird on a picnic table, feasting perhaps on stale leftover McDonald's French fries or crumbs of an Oreo cookie that a tourist has left behind. The bird that once harvested pine nuts in the national park has now started harvesting calories from trash cans. That means that the bird isn't storing up nuts that the squirrels and even the grizzly bears can feast on. The researchers aren't sure the long-term impact that'll have on the ecosystem. It's interesting how in nature there's often such a close connection of relationship between plants and animals, between creatures and creation. Perhaps it's a reminder to us of the importance, the close connection that we are called to have as belonging to the Creator. But in this poem from Ezekiel, I am struck by the image of the branches of God's tree welcoming every kind of bird to come and nest. Every winged creature, so even in God's tree, perhaps even bats or yucca moths might be welcome to find a home. It speaks to me of how the Church of Jesus Christ is called to spread our branches far and wide and to welcome, if not every winged creature, then every person who would long to know the love of God. Rich or poor, black or white, Hispanic or Asian, are welcomed into the presence of God. Those who are well-educated and those who have never finished school find shelter in that broad tree that is Jesus's love. Every bird will live in the shade of its branches, it will nest. Winged creatures of every kind. It's a radical image, actually, that Ezekiel challenges the church today to keep spreading our branches further and further. In Sunday school this morning, we shared stories from our family trees, talking about the genealogy of the clans from which we come. I imagine that everyone here probably has some story from the branches of your family tree. Perhaps there's a story you're proud of, and perhaps there's a story of an ancestor that embarrasses you a little bit. But we belong to one another, to those great-great-great-grandparents that if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be here. It's an interesting exercise to try to draw your family tree, to actually draw the branches that split off. Charles and I have compared our family trees a little bit. Mine is fairly straightforward. Mom and Dad were married for 50 plus years, and they had four kids, and those kids got married, and one of the children had children. It's kind of a fairly short family tree, just a few branches. Charles's family tree is a little more challenging to draw. I always get confused. His brother, Nelson, has been married four times to three women. And, well, it goes on from there. The branches kind of cross a couple times and divide and join back together, and I just get confused. It's okay that my part of the family is boring, and his is a little more interesting. Maybe your family's like that. Some of the branches make you just shake your head and wonder. Earlier this summer, Charles and I went to a family reunion in Indiana with the Baylor clan, his mom's branch of the family tree. One of the, I don't know, second or third cousins who were there was talking about how she wants to make t-shirts for this clan. So next summer when they get together, everyone can wear a t-shirt that says, Baylor Family Reunion. Now, like me, she's married into the family, and so she said, but don't worry, I'll make special t-shirts for us. They'll say, I'm not really a Baylor. What are the branches in your family tree like? Are there some that kind of hang a little limp at the end? Are there others that are strong? It's interesting to reflect on how there are things that make us who we are because of who we have come from. A common element on both sides of my family tree is a love of nature. My mom's branch of the family tree were Iowa and Missouri farmers. From them, I've gained a love of gardening. When Mom was transplanted to New Mexico, she continued to garden. She grew fruit trees of different kinds and planted tomatoes and peppers. The rows and rows of Iowa corn didn't grow too well in the hot, dry soil of southern New Mexico, but other vegetables did. From Mom, I learned gardening. My dad's family were outdoorsmen. They loved hunting and fishing. When he was a little boy, they spent every summer in the high Sierras in Northern California. My grandmother was a teacher, and for about 3 months every summer, she would take my dad, little Tommy, and his brothers, my Uncle Bob and Uncle Ron, and they would all live in a tent by a lake in the Sierra Nevadas while Granddad worked as a cook at a lumber camp. Every summer, my father hiked and climbed trees, ate food cooked over a campfire, and swam until he became almost a fish himself. From that branch of my family tree, I've inherited a love of the mountains and joy in being outdoors. I find God in nature, whether I'm pulling weeds in my backyard or sitting under an aspen on Casper Mountain, in part because that's where my family showed me the presence of God. What have the branches of your family tree taught you about the divine, the Holy One? Maybe your family has handed on a love of music, a strong work ethic, a desire for education. Perhaps there's something in your family tree you're ready to leave behind, mistakes made that need to be forgiven. Whatever those branches teach you about who you are, I invite you to reflect this week on how the branches of your family tree are also connected to the branches of our family of faith, where every kind of person is welcome to come to the Lord's table. People who have a stable job and a comfortable income, people who are looking for work every day, they're welcome at the Lord's table. People who have a master's degree or a doctorate, people who haven't finished eighth grade, they're welcome at the table. 8 years old and 80-year-olds are welcome at the table of Jesus. Whether you're rich or poor, whatever language you speak, whether you're gay or straight, whether you're married with a huge family or single with no children in your house, you're welcome at the Lord's table. Whether you live a life that models good moral behavior or you know you sinned just yesterday and you're here to ask for forgiveness, you're welcome at the Lord's table. The branches of that tree of God shelter every bird, every winged creature, even the little yucca moth. The branches of faith welcome you when you need it most. May you find shelter in God's love and then be led to branch out and welcome someone else who needs to find their home in God. Amen and amen. Our hymn of invitation today is Ours the Journey, number 458. We'll actually sing all four verses this morning. And as we sing this hymn, if there's anyone here who's looking for a church home, we would invite you to come forward and place your membership in First Christian Church. If you've never given your heart to Jesus and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, we encourage you to do that this morning. Or if you need to rededicate your life to God, you're invited to come forward. Let's stand and sing together, Ours the Journey. Thank you. encourage you to come for a time of fellowship downstairs. Today is a special day, not just coffee and cookies, but a dessert buffet has been prepared by our deacons and members of the Worship Commission. We're celebrating Cindy Trimmer's service with us. If you haven't already written her a prayer card, I'd encourage you to write a card and bring that downstairs with you. Members and visitors alike are welcome to come and enjoy this time of fellowship before you get on with your day. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God of rainbow and fiery pillar, God of sequoia and yucca trees, you reveal your glory to us in so many ways. Bless us this week, Holy One, to be branches connected to you, to each other, and branches willing to reach out into the world to share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.